Today's message on Time of Grace comes from the vault. One of my most favorite message series is called Marvelous Metaphors, and today's message is based on Jesus' amazing words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.
Is Christianity the only true path to God, or are there many, many paths to God? You know, there are a lot of religions in the world. In fact, they're limited only by people's creative ingenuity. And if you do any reading or traveling or study in this, you will be amazed at the different types of religious philosophies and different ways of worship, different types of ritual. And I think it's because except for maybe a couple of true 100% really hardcore atheists who absolutely deny the existence of any kind of God whatsoever, the other 90%+ of people on the planet know that somebody else had something to do with creating this world, that there is a force or power or designer higher than the human being. And so they want to some way connect with that great beyond, but they don't know how to do it, so they make up things that maybe seem logical or that give them some peace or provide some kind of stability or give them some kind of confidence in the world. You know, if it were not for the Bible, you and I would be stuck in that same rut, groping around and trying to make up something. But I'll tell you what, because God has sent the Bible into the world, because He has revealed Himself and His works and actions, we don't have to guess. We don't have to make up our own path, all of which we find out end up as dead ends. We know what the right path is. Today is the third in the series of messages that I'll be bringing called Marvelous Metaphors. And Jesus Himself, not long before He died, told His disciples, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." And I'm putting it right to you today, I'm putting it right at you, that you need to come to grips with Jesus Christ's claim of exclusivity. His mercy is inclusive in that He welcomes all to Him and His grace is for all. But those who finally do reach the presence of God are exclusively those who believe in Jesus Christ. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Come on with me and let's go on an adventure in the Word. There is a Latin proverb that has been around for a long, long time, and it goes like this: De mortuis nihil nisi bonum, which means if you're going to talk about dead people, say something nice. And I guess you kind of know the reason for that. We kind of let people's skeletons stay buried, and when people are finally laid to rest, we say rest in peace. It's considered bad form to keep hating on somebody who's dead, and you don't spread any bad stories. And in fact, even atheists, when they die, you know what, you hear people going around saying, "Well, she's in a much better place now. He's in a better place. He's happy now." People who never had a minute's time for Jesus Christ, when they die, here's the kind of stuff you hear at the funeral. "Well, Bobby's drinking beer with his buddies right now, and they're all playing cards, and they're drinking beer and having a party time. They're living it up." Where does that come from? It comes out of nowhere. Everybody pretends, and we have this like collective happy talk at funerals, whether it's based on reality or not. And I'm here to tell you that this is serious business. Part of the dilemma here is that there is a seeming contradiction in God's ways. God acted first to rescue a sinful and dying planet. That's called grace. It's 100% done. Jesus could not die any more thoroughly than He did. He was really human and God together, really, really died. It's like God died and then rose again. So that means that the shedding of His blood was not just sufficient to cover Himself. but to cover all of you. And a gigantic tidal wave of red forgiveness went bursting out horizontally, sideways, covering the earth at his time. Everybody, regardless of geography, but also longitudinally through time, blasting backwards in the past, retroactively forgiving the human race all the way back to Adam and Eve, and blasting forward to people like you and me who hadn't even been born yet and were many generations away from even existing, and in fact has blasted into the future until there will be no more children born, however many more years that may be. That's called grace, and it's 100% done, and God simply says, I forgive you all because of my Son. Simultaneously, the Scripture teaches us it is by God's grace through faith. And that is, if you are unaware of it or don't believe it, or both, it's not connected to you, and you die in your sin. Only the believers are in heaven. And atheists who tell happy stories about each other, the musicians who are now jamming with their friends, deceased members of their old band, that's just made-up stuff. By faith alone. What that means is only some end up in heaven. Though God loves them all, only some end up in heaven. And there are not many, many different ways to the forgiving favor of God, where He forgives you and loves you on this earth, where you can live without guilt and fear now, and when you can enjoy a happy eternity. Only those who believe it have it, and only faith in Christ matters. You've probably seen bumper stickers that say, you coexist. Have you ever been driving behind somebody with a coexist bumper sticker? Now, I don't mind the basic concept of that, that we should not kill each other, that we should respect each other's religious convictions. That's one of the greatest things of America, is that we have mostly outgrown our desire to persecute people who don't believe what we believe. And that's one of the things we love about our freedom of worship in our country. But I'm afraid that the people who are generating those bumper stickers mean far more than just, please don't kill each other. I think it also means that there's a legitimacy to each one of those faith traditions that's represented with those symbols on the bumper sticker. See, we live in an age which has happened just in my lifetime. I'm kind of amazed by it. When I was young, pretty much America still had a Christian consensus. Today, the idea is there is no such thing as absolute truth. You can't be really certain about anything. So make up your own personal little cloud of truth, carry it around your head in your own little moral universe here, and you decide what is right for you. You decide what is true for you. And that is not true. And no one, no less than Christ Jesus Himself, has some things to tell us about the exclusivity of Christianity. It is simultaneously inclusive in that God's mercy is for all, regardless of where you were born, when you lived, where you lived, how your hair may be arranged on your bean, how tall you are, whether you're male or female, what nation you're from, what language you speak, or how much melanin or lack thereof is in your skin, is utterly immaterial. You are loved and forgiven. You are God's creatures, designed and built by Him, and you are objects of the Savior's love and redeemed by Him. But Christianity and salvation are exclusive in that only faith in Christ connects you to that motherlode of treasure. Let's let Jesus tell it to you His way. Today is part 3 in my series that I call Marvelous Metaphors from the Gospel of John. These are mini parables. They are metaphors. A metaphor is a sideways description, so you learn something about yourself and Jesus by using a picture or image. And the previous story that I told you was where Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but connected to me, you will have the juice of life in you. And that's a very powerful story. The vine and the branches lingers in us. Jesus told it not only to help us understand Him better, but also to remember it, because He knows. You start having your senior moments, I think, starting on your 21st birthday, they begin.
And young folks, story to scare you, but it just gets worse every year. He gives us tricks to help us remember important things, and pictures stick in our brains longer than abstractions. Here's number three. I invite you to take your Bible and open it up with me to John chapter 14. Jesus' first words to them, he could see their faces were not digging what he was saying. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Hey, like, come on, smile a little bit. Trust in God. You trust also in me. This word the word trust can either be a command, trust in God, or it also can be the indicative mood. You trust in God, so trust also in me. Or you do trust in God, and you're trusting in me. Either as a statement of fact or as a command makes total sense either way. Relax. What you are experiencing now and shortly is going to come upon you is all part of the plan. It's a good plan. It's the Father's plan. It's my reason for existence here. They didn't understand a word of it. They would later, but not at the moment, I'm sure. So their hearts were troubled. Speaking of happy talk at funerals, I think we have happy talk at church. When I meet you over by the coffee in about 45 minutes, I'm going to say, how are you? And you know what you're going to say? The F word, the four-letter F word. You're going to say, fine. And it's probably half you'll be lying. Because it's expected. There's happy talk here. So we pretend. But what you really, when you say fine, what you really mean is my back hurts like hell. I can barely stand up. What you really mean is my job's hanging by a thread. I'm terrified I'm going to get laid off this week. There's going to be another round of cuts in the office, and I fear that my neck will be on the block. What you really mean is I'm running out of money. I've had a series of financial reverses. I've made some dumb investments, and I got caught in some market downturns. That's what you really mean. What you really mean is my nephew is a crackhead, and I'm sick to death. We're going to lose him. What you really meant was my mother is not ambulatory anymore, and she's 1,000 miles away, and I want to be with her, and I can't because I have to work. I need the money, and I want to be with her, and it's killing me that I can't be there to serve her. That's what you really mean. What you really mean is my marriage is hanging by a thread. We're barely hanging on, and instead of bringing me joy, my spouse feels like I'm dragging a can full of concrete on a rope, and I'm dragging along an anchor through life. Instead of wind in my sails, my spouse is an anchor, and my heart is sick. This is not what I thought I signed up for. Or any one of 50 other things. So Jesus can say to you also, don't let your heart be troubled. And not just because of happy talk, but because of what I am doing to pull you out of a life that as often as it kisses you on the cheek, is smacking you on the back of the head. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I'd have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going to get your room ready. It's the Grand Hotel. My Father has built a fabulous place in a phenomenal location. And I'm going there to put your room reservation on. It's like Jesus is your personal chambermaid. He's going to make sure your sheets are all crispy and clean and turned down, that there's a chocolate on your pillow. He's going to make sure you not only have a TV, it's a big screen with a game controller and a stack of movies off to the side. He's going to make sure you don't just have a bar of old, plain old ivory soap. You're going to have one of those little frou-frou little soapy things that smell real good and are wrapped in little paper, you know, the little ones molded into some cute rose shape. It's because he's going to spoil you rotten. He's going to fuss over your room in the Grand Hotel. His job is, he's not going to try to put a coat of paint on this broken, sick world. He's going to take you out of here to the place that his Father has designed as the most fabulous living experience you could ever imagine, beyond your wildest, most amazing dreams. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back I am going to take you to be with me so that you also can be where I am, so that my house will be your house. And you know how to get there. You know the way. As usual, and I don't say this with any scorn, because my questions would have been even dumber if I had been in the room with him. My first question is, can we go home? Can we go to sleep now? I'd be yawning. Thomas is listening to all this. Jesus says, you know the way. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. His grace is inclusive. But the actual fact is that the people who walk on the way and listen to the truth and have the life in them is a much smaller number. Many are called, few chosen. The world has been graced, but only some believe. And it's me or nothing. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. But you know me, and so you know the Father. You know me, so you know the way. You know me, so you know the truth. You know me, so you have not a life, but the life. And Jesus here puts the lie to the belief that circulates around today. Some call it universalism, that we're all going to that same piece of pie in the sky by and by. And at funerals, people, I think, desperately want to believe the happy talk, that even total atheists are now in a better place. We just make that up. We want it to be so we make it up. That after scuffling around, I heard a woman told me once, Pastor, there's no possible way God could put me in hell because I've already been in hell. My life has been so hard. I'd like done my time already, and he owes me something better. You ever heard something, variation of that? It's a sweet thought, isn't it? Wouldn't it be kind of nice if that were so? Like you pay your dues, and then you get to go to the big house. Like we're all paying it here. I got news for you. This life is a joy compared to what hell is going to be like. And instead of making up your own system, why don't you pay attention to what the builder of the system, what the judge of the divine court, and what your lawyer is telling you? Always listen to your lawyer. And Jesus is saying, wise up. I am the way. I am the road. I am the bridge. There's only one connector between earth and heaven, and it's me or nothing. I was traveling doing a little traveling this last week and saw a huge farm. I was down in Arizona, and believe it or not, farming in Arizona is big. We don't just do farming up here. They actually farm more. They work harder than we do. Our farmers get the winter off. Those poor farmers have three crops. They're working it all the time. And they are very insane about conserving water. So their irrigation system on their fields were just phenomenal. And they recycle everything, including what they use to spray down the place where the cows are all standing. Their barns are really cool. They have barns. They call them barns. You'd call it a roof. There's no walls on their barns. So they just hose down everything where the cows are standing, and they wash it down, and then they pump that water that's used. And guess what that water smells like? So there's these gigantic stagnant pools of manure water flanking you, and this guy's driving around on his pickup truck, and there's a narrow dirt path about as wide as a pickup truck plus 6 inches on either side, and he's barreling down these little paths, and I'm looking over there like, geez, what are you driving? Oh, man. Hoping we don't fall into that swill. That's Jesus. There is only one way to get from here to there and not falling into the manure, and that is stay on that narrow little path. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus says, I am not one of many ways. I am the way. Don't shoot the messenger. Just believe it for yourself. Don't allow Satan to pitch you all sort of self-made scripts that there's a variety of ways. There aren't. It's this or nothing. That's also your message to the people over whom God gives you some influence in your life. Jesus said, I am the truth. There aren't many truths. All real truth is organized around me. If I'm not in the middle of it, it isn't true anymore. just become some of Satan's lies. I am the life. Without me, you're like a cut flower. Cut flowers are beautiful, aren't they, the first day? They appear to be alive. But look at them the second day, and they're starting, those perky petals are starting to get a little droopy, aren't they? You can keep changing the water and put that, you know, that little bag of magic powder from the florist, dump that in the water to juice it up. But a cut flower is dying. By day four, those perky petals are starting to droop, aren't they? By day five, they're getting brown around the edges. By day seven, this is that beautiful cut flower. And out it goes. The people not connected to Christ have only the illusion of life. They're zombies. They are the walking dead. And you have been given life through your faith in Christ. Forgiveness flows into you. You're alive now. You can live alive, joyfully, without guilt and without fear. You have been given immortality, that your grave is nothing but a nap for your tired old body and setting free of your spirit to soar with the Lord. And the great day of judgment will be a day of terror for people you know, but it'll be a day of joy for you, because that's when you'll get your body back, rebuilt 100% brand new in a twinkling of an eye. This is our bright hope, but it doesn't come from 100 different ways or 100 different philosophies, and you can't build it yourself, and you shouldn't dare to be so arrogant that you think you can design a plan yourself. Jesus said, it's me or nothing. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I tell you this for you to believe it. This is sanity. This is intelligence. This is reality. But also so that your messages, as you spread it around, will not water it down, but simply say, this is the way. This is the only way. Now believe it and live. Next time you go to a funeral, you'll hear stuff. You'll hear people making stuff up. And just take that all with a grain of salt. Try to keep your own funeral comments real. Don't overpromise. Don't make something up that isn't true. If somebody lived like an unbeliever, don't pretend that that person's on his or her way to heaven. Tell the truth. Say something kind. Say a happy memory, but don't oversell, and don't lead people to think that Jesus is irrelevant or just an accessory or a luxury rather than what he really is, life or death. And when you hear this kind of talk, like people are saying that so-and-so is now playing cards with his buddies, I want you to know that one of the follies and lies of our popular culture is a song. In fact, it's a polka, but it's built on a lie, and I need you to be aware of this lie. And that is the song, "In Heaven, There Is No Beer." And I'll tell you why. Because it encourages people to think, I got to get it all now. So for one, it's kind of stimulates overconsumption, which is always bad. Second, it's based on the lie that in heaven there is no beer, which is a lie because, in fact, in heaven there will be plenty of beer. You want to know where there is no beer? In hell. As we send, I'm saying this only partly kidding, as we send our messages out, you personally, we as a congregation, any ministry you're connected with, let us have the courage, the nerve, and the love to tell the truth about Jesus, who is the truth and the way and the life. Amen.
Here's a question from a viewer that caught my attention, and you might find it interesting as well. What's the best way to make Jesus the center of your life all the time, not just on Sundays? Well, first of all, I want to celebrate the fact that for that reader, and maybe for you too, Jesus is the center of your Sunday. I'm getting a little pessimistic about what people answer the pollsters, because social scientists say that really only about 20%
of the Christians in America actually are in church on any given Sunday. And so I'm not even going to completely grant that it's a given that Christians are in church on Sunday. And I would say that's the foundation of your week, or whatever day of the week you happen to attend worship at your church. If you go to a Monday night service or a Saturday afternoon, that counts as well. But having that worship time with your congregation, I'd say I'm not going to assume that. Make that, organize your week around that experience so you can hear God talking to you. The second thing I would say is listen, use media and Christian radio and Christian CDs to listen to Christian music and put some positive stuff in your head along with all of the other stuff. And thirdly, there are little visuals that you can use in your workspace where with a picture, a symbol, or maybe it's some kind of phrase from God's Word, you can have a visual reminder in your car and your workspace to help you think about our Lord Jesus, not just once a week, but make Him the center of your day. Don't go away. I'm going to be back in just a minute to pray with you. You know, there's only one way in which the program today has come to you and to your home or to where you're watching me right now, and that is because of the generosity of the donors who support Time of Grace. If you are one of those, let me say thank you, and especially a big thank you to my Grace partners. You truly are my partners through your regular, ongoing, monthly financial gifts to Time of Grace. Would you like to join the team? I need your help. Today is a great day to pray and consider your best gift to join the team and support Time of Grace so that we can keep coming to you with good news from the Word through mass media and share that amazing message with hundreds of thousands of people. Let's pray today, shall we, for courage and clarity to carry Jesus' message to the world. Lord Jesus, You are not just a way, but the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to take Your claim seriously, to allow no idol or distraction to somehow make us think there might be another way, least of all to depend on ourselves. You alone bring forgiveness of our sins. You alone can give the gift of immortality and open the gates of heaven. Help us to see that and hear it and believe it clearly. Help us to state it and confess it in our world equally clearly. We pray in Your holy name. Amen. For Time of Grace, I'm Pastor Mark Jeske. Every day is a day of God's amazing grace for you.
It all starts now. It all starts now. Time of Grace. It all starts now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.